Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I am for defunding the police, and for me, it's a reallocation of funds.
It does not appear she has made any reasonable efforts to prevent the resulting chaos.
This didn't work out.
The Biden administration knows what it needs to do, and it says, well, we'll do anything except what works. It's a special kind of stupid.
God save the Queen, man.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A beautiful, beautiful day in St. Louis. I think Sue just told me it's like 56 out there.
Yeah, according
something.
To my watch, it's 56.
I like it. It's very welcome after all the nastiness. And then you still have to wonder, you know, on the, what would that be, the north side of our building where we are right now, that's Olive Street. And that ice and snow, that's not going anywhere because the sun's never, ever hitting it, right?
Yep.
Now, we got a lot of rain in the forecast for Thursday. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's not great. Yeah. It's just going to be a soggy mess.
That might melt things, though, right? It'll
oh,
melt
yeah.
stuff.
But I'll then we'll just have mud and muck.
Well, it's not L.A., okay? I think we're going to be fine.
Better than ice.
Yeah, well, you mean ice on the roads or ice that are just tearing into apartment complexes and buildings all across America? I have an interesting, couple interesting stories to share about that. My sister works with refugees in Chicago. And I got a call about some of this morning. We'll get to that here in a second. We have a lot to get to. I'm very excited because yesterday on the show, I think it was maybe in the 5 o'clock hour, I read a good portion of this piece that was in Unheard at unheard.com about the, I'm gonna slip at one of these points here. It's the BS DEI jobs, right? And Ryan Zitgraff wrote about this and gave some examples of the BS jobs that are out there in DEI because we don't know what these people do, and they're not going to be doing much anymore because a lot of this is shutting down. But then Fred tells me Ryan's a Mizzou kid, right?
Yeah, he's very happy. He worked in Jeff City, and he worked in Mexico, Missouri before.
I'm sorry about both of those incidents, but we'll be looking forward to talking with Ryan. Selena Zito is back with us this afternoon at 4:25. She has been polishing off her book. I don't think it comes out to the summer, which is called Butler, the Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. Of course, Selena was on the stage when that happened in Butler. Michael Goodwin's back with us this afternoon, Congressman Onder, and a whole lot more. But this was really amazing earlier today. Carolyn Leavitt took the White House podium in the briefing room for the first time. KJP is out. We get a big upgrade with Carolyn Leavitt. Now, Sue, I'm just going to be honest with you. She's 27 years old, okay?
Wow.
The same age as one of my children. And, you know, I don't know much about her. And I'm thinking to myself, I was just telling Wiggins this story. Back in the day, Sue, when I was interviewing for a gig in Milwaukee, I ended up getting it. But I had remember we used to have radio consultants?
Oh, yeah.
And they would always be so smart, right? But I had this one consultant guy tell me when I was 32 years old, he told the program director, he doesn't have enough life experience to do this. He doesn't have enough. And I was like, hey, I got life experience, right? I didn't have any life experience.
No.
None whatsoever. The guy could not have been more right, right? But I ended up getting the gig and everything worked out. Now I have a ton of life experience. But I bring it up because when I look at someone like Carolyn, I don't want to not appreciate her talent, but she's so young. I'm thinking there's going to be mistakes made. She does not have the capacity to handle this job. There's no way. And she
does.
Hit a grand slam. She was so good this morning. And that was her first day. Now, it's not really fair because she's been on the campaign. She's been, you know, answering questions from the media. But I could not have been more impressed. Now, we're going to highlight some of the things. Some of this was just pure comedy. It really was.
No binders.
Yeah, that's another thing. She goes in there, Jackie Heinrich. And by the way, Jackie asked a couple of tough questions this morning. You didn't word softballs by any stretch. I don't know if Peter, did you see Peter? Was he in there?
I didn't see him either. Jackie.
Jackie Heinrich said, where's your binder? I don't have a binder. The binder's in my head. Now, she had some notes up there, but there was no binder. So I'll hop around here just a little bit. I thought this was interesting because we haven't talked about this in literally a month, maybe more, because it's the end of January. Remember the whole drone thing, Sue, that was going on?
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
So, I mean, why couldn't they have done that a couple
weeks ago? Thank you.
Go ahead. I see a lot of people, like, there's people, even John Ziegler, my friend, said a lot of MAGA folks fell for that. What do you mean? Like, a lot of people, period, they didn't fall for it. They were very curious because all these people, including public officials out in New Jersey, Phil Murphy, the governor, saying, yeah, you know, we've seen these things. It's a little weird. They're coming over the golf course. Now I guess we know. And I settled into the position relatively quickly that, yeah, I think this is being exaggerated.
Well, we don't find out a lot of things.
No.
I mean, I'd love to know about the first assassination attempt on Trump. That whole story. Just poof.
Thank you.
No answers.
You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, we can ask Selena about that this afternoon because she's writing a book about it. But you're absolutely right. We've said that multiple times. So this guy from the AP asked the question. This is like one of the first questions that Carolyn has to handle.
I commit to telling the truth from this.
Wait. Do I not have the question here from the guy, Fred? See, I pulled a lot of this audio, and I don't know if I have the actual question that he asked him. And I wanted the question. Did I not pull that? I meant to.
I think you used it in another interview.
I did. All right. Well, let me paraphrase what the guy from the, because you talk about lack of self-awareness here on the part of the media. This guy, because I tweeted this out earlier, so that's my fault for not, and Ethan, we're going to have to correct this. I'll send you the audio because I want to make sure that I have the reporter in what he said here. But again, this is one of the, I can't get my damn iPad to work right now. This is one of the top questions or the first questions that this guy asks in the briefing room. If I can get the data on my AT&T iPad to work here, essentially asking Carolyn Leavitt if she commits to telling the truth in the briefing room. It's incumbent upon her, Sue, to, you know, talk about the truth and really make sure that she commits to the truth. So Carolyn said this to the reporter.
I commit to telling the truth from this podium every single day. I commit to speaking on behalf of the President of the United States. That is my job. And I will say it's very easy to speak truth from this podium when you have a president who is implementing policies that are wildly popular with the American people. And that's exactly what this administration is doing. It's correcting the lies and the wrongs of the past 4 years, many of the lies that have been told to your faces in this very briefing room.
How about that? Yeah, and she didn't stop there, by the way.
I will not do that. But since you brought up Truth Seek, I would like to point out, while I vow to provide the truth from this podium, we ask that all of you in this room hold yourselves to that same standard. We know for a fact there have been lies that have been pushed by many legacy media outlets in this country about this president, about his family, and we will not accept that. We will call you out when we feel that your reporting is wrong or there is misinformation about this White House. So, yes, I will hold myself to the truth, and I expect everyone in this room to do the same.
So I apologize. It was Zeke Miller from the AP that said, a question that we've asked your predecessors of both parties in this job, when you're up here in this briefing room speaking to the American public, do you view yourself and your role as speaking on, advocating on behalf of the president, providing the unvarnished truth, that is, you know, not to lie, not to obfuscate to the American people? Wait, what? Were you not in that room the past 4 years? Are you freaking kidding me? That and, you know, the AP is particularly nefarious and dangerous because the Associated Press is an organization that newsrooms, news outlets subscribe to. And then it's a bit of a co-op. You know, if a story pops out of St. Louis, the AP might pick up that story credited to, or they might not even credit, but they get the story from someone like KMOX or KSDK or whatever. But they distribute that around the world, right? So when they have agenda journalism, which they practice quite religiously, then that becomes a problem. So we had all kinds of interesting questions. So here's Peter Alexander from NBC News.
Very quickly, just following up on the question on immigration first. President Trump, during the course of the campaign in 2024, said the following about illegal immigration. He said, they're going back home where they belong, and we start with the criminals. There are many, many criminals. NBC News has learned that ICE arrested 1,179 undocumented immigrants on Sunday, but nearly half of them, 566 of the migrants, appear to have no prior criminal record besides entering the country illegally.
Okay, all right. NBC News has learned. All right, NBC News. Well, this is what's awesome. Hey, I'm NBC News, Peter Alexander. We have learned this. Carolyn, what can you say?
The president still focused exclusively, which is a civil crime, not a. It's not criminal.
It's a federal crime.
So I'm asking, though, he said he was going to focus on those violent offenders first. So is violent offenders no longer the predicate for these people to be deported?
The president has said countless times on the campaign trail, I've been with him at the rallies, I know you've been there covering them too, Peter, that he is focused on launching the largest mass deportation operation in American history of illegal criminals. And if you are an individual, a foreign national, who illegally enters the United States of America, you are, by definition, a criminal.
It's not that hard. We've said this before. It's common sense. Peter Alexander, you know, what are you changing the priorities? Are you kidding me? You're going to go after the criminals. But guess what? You go to the apartment complex and there's a dozen other illegals that are crammed in there. What are you going to do? Oh, you guys go ahead. You're picking our cotton and our crops and stuff like that. You're okay. Don't worry about it. We're worried about, you know, our grocery items. That this is the expectation that the White House press corps has on, what is this, day 8? Can we say day 8, day 7, I guess, of the administration?
I think it's going to take them a while to realize that this is going to be truth told and there's no dancing around and craziness. They're going to actually answer the question.
Yeah.
And the answer is, well, if you're in this country and you aren't here legally, that means you are illegal.
Right, right. It, again, not too tough. She got aggressive with some people. Here's Mary Bruce from ABC.
Some of the confusion I think may be here with this pause on federal funding. You've made it clear you're not stopping funds that go directly to individuals, but there certainly are lots of organizations that receive funding and then may pass along a benefit. Meals on Wheels, for one. They provide meals for over 2.2 million seniors. What is the president's message to Americans out there, many of whom supported him and voted for him, who are concerned that this is going to impact them directly, even if, as you said, the funding isn't coming directly to their wallet?
Let me address this before I get the answer from Carolyn, because I referenced this. I was speaking with my sister earlier. My sister, I love her dearly. She has a big heart. She works with Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities is essentially an NGO, a non-governmental operation that is taking money from the government to provide services that are somewhat questionable in some cases to these migrants. Now, in my sister's case, now she bent my ear on this. I was telling Fred, and she's not listening right now, so I can say this freely. She doesn't listen to my show. She can't. My mom does, but she won't listen. But again, she's helping. She's literally, Sue, taking people who are here because of asylum. They're not Hispanic, really not South American, African countries, some from Ukraine, I think. And she brings them to their court dates, you know, their immigration court dates, and helps out. And there's housing and all this stuff. So she's going through all this with me this morning. And I, you know, what I want to say is, okay, well, we can look at these situations individually, but there might be a case to be made. And she understands this, by the way. She gets the border. She's like, I think a lot of people wonder if these resources are being effectively shared with American citizens, you know, like people who pay taxes.
Right.
Like in Chicago, we've seen a lot of pushback. And her point was, well, I get that, but, and this is a valid point, a valid concern, but there's also an answer to it. The question would be, wait a second, you're going to compound the issue. If you have folks that are sort of in this program, and then all of a sudden you cut off the funding and there's no money, and then they don't have a home, they don't have an apartment, they're homeless, right? Well, then what happens, right? Okay, that's fine, but then listen to the answer here from Carolyn.
I've been asked and answered this question 4 times to individuals at home who receive direct assistance from the federal government. You will not be impacted by this federal freeze. In fact, OMB just sent out a memo to Capitol Hill with Q&A to clarify some of the questions and the answers that all of you are asking me right now. Again, direct assistance will not be impacted. I've been asked and answered about this OMB memo. There's many other topics of the day.
Yeah, so they're clarifying it. She's had to repeat it. And the bottom line is they have suspended funding to see some of these organizations. And good. Okay, let's take a look at it. Let's see what we're going to be.
We're suspending while we take a look.
Exactly. But they're getting things done. Okay, a few more topics. This is with the Daily Caller.
Does the president intend to permanently cut off funding to NGOs that are bringing illegal foreign nationals to the country, such as Catholic Charities?
I am actually quite certain that the president signed an executive order that did just that, and I can point you to that.
Shh, don't tell my sister. All right, we're not going to share that soundbite with her at all. DEI, we're going to talk more about that here today.
As we're dealing with anti-DEI, anti-woke efforts, we understand this administration could, thinking about celebrating Black History Month. Have you got any word on that? Anything that you can offer to us?
As far as I know, this White House certainly still intends to celebrate, and we will continue to celebrate American history and the contributions that all Americans, regardless of race, religion, or creed, have made to our great country, and America is back.
Carol, let me ask you a question here. The people that I represent, African Americans and people in urban areas, they can't afford their groceries, but I want to make sure that the White House is going to highlight African American History Month appropriately, and then down the line, if we don't get the Alphabet Mafia flag that's up there in June and all that stuff. Are you kidding me? These are the priorities of the people in the press room. Here's another issue. This is awesome. We'll address this a little bit this afternoon. We'll talk with Michael Goodwin. She made it very clear from the beginning that some of the folks that have been in that briefing room in the past might not be in that briefing room. And some of the folks that have not been in that briefing room, whether it's a podcaster, I mean,
that's a great idea.
Exactly. People who are breaking news, they're going to change that room.
The Trump White House will speak to all media outlets and personalities, not just the legacy media who are seated in this room. Because according to recent polling from Gallup, Americans' trust in mass media has fallen to a record low. Millions of Americans, especially young people, have turned from traditional television outlets and newspapers to consume their news from podcasts, blogs, social media, and other independent outlets. It's essential to our team that we share President Trump's message everywhere and adapt this White House to the new media landscape in 2025.
I do think that she was remiss there in pointing out the importance of conservative talk show hosts in local markets all across the country, but I understand this was a big day, but I think this is huge.
White House believes strongly in the First Amendment, so it's why our team will work diligently to restore the press passes of the 440 journalists whose passes were wrongly revoked by the previous administration.
Wow.
We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House.
I love it. I think that is a big step. I really do. And one more topic here. Let's see, because there's a lot that she covered, but I wanted to get a bunch of this in.
I love that they were keeping 400 some odd people out for Biden. What? For what? What?
Yeah. Look, we're learning so much. This is what I think I'd like to focus on here. And then we got to take a break, and then Ryan's coming up. But think about how much has been accomplished in 7 days, in just 7 days. Now, what's the message that that really tells you? Well, the Trump administration is damn serious about getting to work here, right? And I don't know who's playing, you know, the person orchestrating this, if it's Susie, who is the chief of staff, Susie Wiles, or other people on the team. Let's face it, ever since that first debate, this campaign was handled exceptionally well. They did not make missteps. Their candidate might have made a couple, but man, the campaign was focused, laser focused, and they made so many smart moves, and they worked the media extremely well. This is happening now, which is great for people like me and maybe many of you listening, because we wanted action, right? But doesn't this also scream, man, what the hell has this administration for the past 4 years been doing?
Yes.
What have they been doing? I think we know the answer. Sleeping. There was a reference to that by Carolyn as well. We're coming back. A great DEI comm coming up.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh my God, I did the whole monologue, Sue, and I haven't even mentioned the obvious best news of the day that we'll talk
about a
little bit later.
Someone's bringing us food?
No, Jim Acosta got fired from CNN. Basically, well, you know what happened last week? They shuffled the deck of the lineup, and then it looked like he was going to be put. They offered him like the after midnight slot Eastern time, but I think he would have started at 10 p.m. out in L.A. They were going to move him out there. They knew probably he wasn't going to take the gig, but he will not be missed. And this is awesome because the final moment for Jim Acosta on CNN pretty much was Congressman Burkett saying this.
This is CNN. This is the news. We're asking you to come on and tell the truth.
And that's why more people are watching the Cartoon Network SpongeBob reruns right now, Jim.
So I have him. Was this on CNN last night when he said goodbye? Oh, Jim, we're going to miss you so much.
And I just wanted to end today's show by thanking all of the wonderful people who work behind the scenes at this network. You may have seen some reports about me and this show. And after giving all of this some careful consideration and weighing an alternative time slot CNN offered me, I've decided to move on.
I am grateful
to CNN for the nearly 18 years I've spent here doing the news.
Yeah, the news is an interesting, you know, phrase for you, Jim, using the news when you really haven't covered the news. We have Jim Acosta's greatest hits coming up a little bit later in the show. Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour. Michael Goodwin's coming up at 5:07. Yesterday, Sue, you might remember, I talked about this piece that was in Unheard about DEI, because one of the things we always talk about DEI, and it's certainly by evidence of the fact that I listened to Aaron Burnett last week on CNN talking about DEI, and I got the feeling that Aaron didn't really have a handle on what it really was. And I hear that a lot from public officials, which is rather shocking. So Ryan Zitkraf, who writes for Unheard, wrote a piece called "So Trump Nixed Your BS DEI Job." And he's a Mizzou grad, and he joins us this afternoon. I highlighted much of this last night, but I wanted to get Ryan on to talk about this. M-I-Z, Ryan Zitkraf, how are you?
Z-O-U. Hey, Mark, I'm great. Apparently, I have to apply for a Trump White House press credential here soon.
Well, I think you should, though, in all seriousness, right? Because they are opening it up to different outlets. So I would, if you haven't filled out the application, I would recommend that. That's awesome.
All right, get on top of it.
I'm guessing you might have graduated a little bit after me. What class at Mizzou?
The year 2000.
Yeah, I was 83, so I was there a little bit before you. But I was like, you know, we got a lot of Mizzou Mafia folks that join us on the show, and I appreciate that. But I loved your column. I really did. And you kind of started, I don't watch Severance. You sort of described this situation and, you know, framed around this show that's very, very popular on Apple TV Plus called Severance. So why don't you kind of frame it for us here on the radio, if you will?
Sure. Yeah, in Severance, season 2 just came out recently, and this is kind of a mystery. It's a TV show where there's workers in an office, and they're shuffling numbers around, but nobody really knows what they do. Even the workers themselves don't really know what they do. So, I thought, where else have I heard that kind of thing before?
Well, and you're right, because we talk about these DEI situations all the time. You offered some math in here, which was interesting. The number of people that had these particular roles pre-2020 in particular is quite stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, I was amazed when I found the data and that 43,000 people are work in DEI positions. And that's increased from a couple years ago, 8,000. So they keep going up. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. Now, look, I don't know about you, but I've lost a couple of jobs over the course of my career. And you even, Ryan, in the piece said, look, I don't want to sound flippant about mass layoffs because losing your job sucks. But let's kind of focus on the real mission here, which is to root some of this out in federal positions. And maybe, you know, we're going to do some of our own efforts here in Missouri with the state and beyond. But this has gotten wildly out of control. And to your point, nobody knows what these people really do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we know of their existence, but like, you know, as far as like day to day, what do they do? I mean, we know maybe that they change job listings to put LGBTQ+, strongly encouraged to imply. I've seen that plenty in job listings, right. But and some wacky seminars. But yeah, what is it they do?
So you what did you discover in to that question? Because as you pointed out, you have, and I had to be very careful yesterday, and I would appreciate if you did too. I want to say the full word BS jobs, because I think it's more effective. But that's exactly what we're talking about here. These are BS jobs. You kind of even talked about how that phrase was coined in 2018 to describe the rebirth of medieval feudalism in the modern corporate world. But you have BS jobs that are the opposite of blank jobs. S jobs are just disproportionately blue collar, paid by the hour, performed by the serfs. But the BS jobs, this is important, Ryan, because those are held by the elite, in particular in academia, I think.
Yes, yes. Academia and a lot of these big corporations, including, you know, tech even over the last few years, and I think the tech industry is sort of rebelling now, and they're kind of going away from the DEI. But the DEI has been everywhere in corporate America, academia, even, as you say, the government. They're kind of BS. You know, I guess a lot of these corporations and a lot of academics couldn't hang up a billboard next to their business say that we're not racist. So instead, it was like they paid a bunch of high paid consultants.
That's what happened. Yeah,
to sit around and say, look, we're not racist. See, that we hired DEI.
It's really outrageous. We have a situation here in St. Louis, which has been developing for a couple of months with our St. Louis public schools, and outrageous amounts of spending that happened with a superintendent that's no longer there. And a lot of it was focused on some of this nonsense. But you, Ryan Zickrath, you have a little bit of a personal connection with the DEI world, because in your piece, you talked about some things that you did just a few years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to say, but a couple years ago, I was doing some contract work for an advertising agency. And this was a small advertising agency in Chicago that employed a black woman. And she got a ton of work after George Floyd, companies wanting her to do DEI initiatives. Well, what she did then was then subcontract that work out to people like me. So you had, I'm a white dude, a middle-aged white dude,
right?
You know, and it was my job for Pfizer and Blue Cross Blue Shield, some of these companies, to do DEI content for them. I just felt like such a fraud.
That's
well,
amazing.
Not only I felt like a fraud, but it was like, this is all BS.
Yeah, well, I think what you said in the piece was that job was the kind of grift that really does help disguise the fact that this whole world of DEI is smoke and mirrors, and it's crumbling down. I think we're having a lot of success. John Seiler was on last night with me. He's been really good nationally at exposing some of this. But, you know, Ryan, you probably noticed this too. One of the things that's been happening in corporations and maybe in government jobs in the last couple of weeks, all they've been doing is changing titles on some of these websites,
yeah,
right? We don't know what they're still doing, but now they have different titles that don't really relate specifically in theory to DEI, but they still have these corporate gigs or government gigs.
Yeah, and you know, what really sticks out too is like how well paid they are. I don't think I put this in my piece, but I kind of compared how many DEI jobs there are to pilots, like commercial airline pilots. And, you know, if Biden or Harris had been elected, chances are we would have more DEI.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, one thing I discovered is that DEI administrators on average make about the same amount of money as commercial pilots, which is about $120,000 a year. It's just amazing. That is quite a grift to sit around and tell people they're racist and earn.
And that's what they do. And, you know, it'd be very curious to see what happens with the cottage industry. Now, we still have, you know, in our West St. Louis suburbs, I often mention Webster Groves. I don't know if you're from, are you from this area? Are you from Missouri or not?
I'm from Central Illinois,
okay,
actually.
All right. So we have Webster Groves is one of our, you know, woke suburbs here. They just hired a big, you know, woke superintendent. They probably love this stuff, but for the most part, I think the DEI world is crumbling. One final question, because I'm going to highlight this here coming up in a few minutes. Did you see the story in the Free Press by Madeline Rowley about the military and DEI this morning?
I did not.
Oh, check that out. Ryan, you're going to like this, and I'm going to highlight it with the audience. What happened when DEI came to the military? It's an investigation that the Free Press did. You're going to love it. It's right up your alley. But thank you so much for coming on here this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
All right, take care. And I will highlight all that DEI stuff in the military coming up next. This really is an amazing piece that is in the Free Press today at thefp.com. I mentioned the Free Press, and it's Barry Weiss's outlet. I didn't dive into this today, but I saw Tucker Carlson in some sort of tweet where he said Barry Weiss is no conservative. I never thought Barry Weiss was a conservative. You know who else is not a conservative? Donald Trump's not a conservative, all right? We're all okay with that. So I'm not sure what the point is there, but the Free Press is actually doing real journalism out there. And this is an amazing story by a reporter by the name of Madeline Rowley. And I don't know her. We're going to try to get her on the air. She tells the story of Christopher Walker, retired Air Force Brigadier General, 59 years old. He spent 2 years as a senior advisor to the Air Force's Office of Diversity and Inclusion in the Pentagon, attended dozens of meetings about implementing DEI initiatives. And it was an unusual role because he had over 400 hours of combat flights and most recently had overseen West Virginia's Air National Guard. But guess what? He was black, and they thought, let's give a DEI gig and make him, you know, someone who's involved in our Office of Diversity and Inclusion. And I guess they assumed the way that the reporting is unfolding in the Free Press, they assumed because he would be on board that DEI was a, quote, warfighting imperative because he was black. But that assumption was wrong. So he essentially was a mole. Listen to this. Alarmed by DEI programs that were little more in his view than Soviet indoctrination, which, by the way, in his view, that's absolutely right, he leaked information to a group called Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services, which is STARRS, STARS. The group consists of retired military veterans, civilians who are not crazy about the woke ideology in the military. So then they, and you're going to know some of these names, because those groups then alert Senator Tom Cotton and Mike Waltz, who's a congressman. And they say, look, we're hearing from General Walker and other active duty service members who oppose the DEI effort. What in the world is going on here? And they start calling it out in the last couple of years. And this became a bit of a story. And one of the reasons that, you know, you're seeing so much of a crackdown on DEI from the new Trump administration. So Walker tells the reporter from the Free Press, no one delved into how I thought. They took one look at me and assumed I believed these things. I learned to listen and I had to bite my tongue a lot. So he prefers to go by his call sign, which is Mookie. He took notes, kept his head down, he says. He wanted to keep reporting on what was going on. He said, if I thought if this is allowed to stand, all of the senior people within the Department of Defense are going to bring along this propaganda and get rid of anyone who doesn't go along with it, which, by the way, is exactly what they do. All right. They do it in corporate America. They do it. And I think the best example of this, Sue, as I mentioned yesterday, this poor woman, I'll have to look up her name, from the MS Society, who had volunteered for decades and just because she didn't really appropriately use she, her, and pronouns, identifiers, I'm sorry, in an email, they tried to get rid of her.
Yep.
And then it got so much national attention from, you know, some of the alternative media sites out there and on Twitter, like with Libs of TikTok and Wokeness, she kept her job. So Mookie says there was a private meeting in 2022. There were generals and other key Pentagon staffers. Alex Wagner, who was the Air Force Assistant Secretary, asked the group to brainstorm to get the public to accept drag shows on Air Force bases. Okay? Close to retirement and with nothing to lose, Mookie finally spoke up. He says, I reminded the group that since the 1980s, the Air Force has not allowed lingerie shows. They don't allow burlesque shows.
That's right.
So why in the flippin' world would we allow drag shows, right? His comments seem to have an effect. The story says, in June of 2023, the Department of Defense officially banned drag shows on all military installations, begging the question, why in the world were they allowed in the first place, right? But that was the exception. It was not the rule. Because Mookie recalls attending a training course at Georgetown University in 2022 for Air Force generals and senior officers called Managing for Inclusion. The professor, he said, at Georgetown, informed the group that white people were oppressors and black and Hispanic people were the oppressed. So they couldn't be racist, of course. We've heard these narratives before, right? Anti-racism. The professor also taught the class how to ask someone for their pronouns at the beginning of a conversation. Let me make something clear here about this particular professor. He ain't going to have a gig anymore, all right? I hope he got a lot of money back in 2022 because the whole Managing for Inclusion offer for the U.S. military, that ain't going to happen ever again, hopefully. The whole thing, Mookie says, is old-fashioned propaganda. But There were generals. There were generals. Lieutenant General Mary O'Brien, now retired. Lieutenant General Leah Lauterbach, a higher ranked and higher ranked within that course who were going along with it. He says, clapping like trained SEALs. Now, the story then pivots and says, with the arrival of Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, the days of asking soldiers for their preferred pronouns appear to be over. Let's hope so, right? In the first interview since his confirmation, Hegseth has also commented to the Free Press. He says, my job is to reflect those lawful orders from President Trump throughout the chain of command. Those orders, he added, are to remove all aspects of DEI, including trying to mirror it, rename it, or delay those tactics. And Mary, who wrote this, you know, story, talks about how, you know, you have 31% minority in the armed forces, and they have viewed colorblindness as critical for a fighting force. But the commission's report that, you know, they kind of dug into in 2011, there was a blue ribbon commission that said the modern military required demographically diverse leadership that reflects the public it serves. To achieve that goal, the military needed to pursue, this is the actual phrasing from the commission in 2011, pursue a broader approach to diversity that includes the range of backgrounds, skill sets, and personal attributes. So one of the things that Mary says is most ominous and even shocking is that that commission didn't really understand the implications of the recommendations for combat troops. So the emphasis that I mentioned on colorblindness was rooted in the logic of combat. When men and women of different races and religions are fighting alongside each other, focusing on their differences kind of harms unit cohesion, right? So she even talked to some people anonymously who were high-ranking military officials, some of whom had combat experience, that talked to her about this report and said, let's say we have soldiers, airmen, Marines, and sailors who have actually been in combat and who actually covered one another, who have actually sacrificed for one another, and they're all across different ethnic groups, races, whatever. This is Mookie saying this. And then all of a sudden, some clown is saying, hey, but you know, you're inherently racist. That's just not going to work for unity. It's also not going to work for educating young children, brainwashing them, because that's what they do to kids. That's what they're trying to do to my daughter. And I'm not picking on Rockwood, but that's what the education establishment has become. I mentioned this, I swear to God, I always go back to this. I don't even know if it resonates with people, but the first day of kindergarten, Sue, when I was, you know, monitoring from my home during COVID, they might have been the second day, but they read this book out loud in the class, a kindergarten class, about this first astronaut that was African-American, went through discrimination, Ron's Big Mission, I think it's called, right? And so the teacher, because the teacher's being forced to read this to the kindergarten class, and she asks for reaction, and I'm watching this on my Zoom screen. Hey, kids, what does that mean? There's black kids in the group. They have no idea. They don't know.
They're kindergartners.
Exactly. So stop doing that. And that was some sort of priority from Rockwood Schools. Now, we got a new superintendent. The old guy, two superintendents ago, that guy was okay. The last one, he was an idiot. And thank God we have a new one. I'm not convinced that Dr. Kane is a whole lot better on the woke ideology, but I was just offering an example there. And that's what happens, right? This is what they do. And I'm just shocked that this is, well, now it's no longer going to be allowed to be happening. So they also talked about at the Air Force Academy the same year, this is all in 2022, under the supervision of the Biden administration, because this is what they wanted to do. And I'm guessing, you know, if you go back to 2011 with this report, a lot of this started in the Obama administration. I would say it continued during the Trump administration because we didn't know about it. It wasn't exposed, so it wasn't stopped. So at the Air Force Academy, several upper-level leadership courses were replaced by courses that embraced critical race theory. So, and again, that's whites are oppressors, we're bad, minorities are oppressed. They titled these classes Class, Race, and Ethnicity in Society, and Gender, Sexuality, and Society. The course description on the latter reads this way. Behavioral Science 364. This is for our military. Our ideas about gender and sexuality, about men, women, masculinity, and homosexuality, for example, organize our social life in important ways that we often do not notice. These ideas are easily either invisible to us, such that we take them for granted as normal, or explained away, such as they seem like the natural way life works. This course adopts a different approach by viewing gender and sexuality, this is for the military, it's for the warfighters, through the lens of the social, as shaped by social processes, including social interaction, institutions, ideologies, and culture, and how these beliefs create and enforce a system of difference and inequality. Now, That reads like a course listing at Harvard or Princeton. You know why? Because it is a course listing probably at Harvard or Princeton. But this is for the military. And the Biden administration spent a ton of money on this. $68 million. $68 million in 2022. $86.5 million in 2023. You ready for last year? $114.7 million on DEI. Where did the money go? You know, to Ryan's point
in
the previous segment. What the hell happened to all the money? They $270 million was spent just over the course of 4 years on DEI efforts in the military. And what'd you get? What was the ROI on that? It's outrageous. And this is great, great reporting in the Free Press today by Madeline Rowley. And we're going to try to get her on later this week.
Get more at 971talk.com.